Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This episode is powered by Poddex. Poddex are unique interview questions and episode starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're a new podcaster or existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience and have more meaningful conversations, you're going to want to check out Poddex. Now, if you want to get 10% off your order right now, you can go to poddex.com and type in coupon code. What's the code?
Larry21.
Yes, that's the code. Check out poddex.com. Take your podcast to the next level.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
With the soft sand in between your toes, the salty air sifting through your hair, and the sun shining on your shoulders, is there anything more relaxing than a day at the beach for the Beaumont family in 1966? The answer is a million times yes. It was a warm summer morning in 1966, and people were flocking to the seaside to celebrate the one and only National Day of Australia. Families set up striped umbrellas, and kids splashed in the waves in their bathing suits. Three children by the names of Jane, Erna, and Grant Beaumont were looking to do just that. Their father, Jim, was a traveling salesman and currently away on a business trip, so Jane, the eldest of the three, had asked her mother if she could take the younger siblings to the water. This was customary in 1960s Australia. The country was seen as a safe place to raise children. Kids ran free, neighbors were loved. Jane was known to be quite responsible for her age, so her mother, Nancy, agreed to the beach day, and the children began packing up their bags. Jane was sure to include her paperback copy of Louisa May Alcott's Little Woman. She folded three beach towels for herself and her siblings, helped dress Erna and Grant in their swimming clothes, and the trio was off, with Nancy waving from the doorstep. This would mark the last time Nancy ever saw her children. At 8:45 a.m., the children, aged 9, 7, and 4, boarded an early morning bus to Glenelg Beach. It was a sweet, quaint beach town close to home, nearly 2 miles from the Beaumont home in Somerton Park, a suburban neighborhood in Adelaide. It was a short ride. In only 5 minutes, the children arrived at the Mosley Street bus stop. The stop was across from Wenzel's Bakery and only a couple blocks of walk to the salty waves. They ran to the sand, excited to celebrate their national holiday. January 26, 1966 was a notably hot one. Temperatures rising even early in the morning. The heat wave had pushed people to the shore, and though they arrived early, just before 9 a.m., the beach was already swarming with people. Jane, Grant, and Erna were expected to return later that day on either the noon or the 2 p.m. bus. It was only meant to be a quick morning trip. At noon, Nancy Beaumont went to get her children at the bus stop. With no children in sight, she simply assumed they had lost track of time. This wasn't a cause for concern, though, as they would be on the 2 p.m. bus later in the day. When she returned to the bus stop 2 hours later, though, the children were once again not there. She quickly grew concerned and became more and more worried when the children hadn't been on the 3 p.m. bus. Jim Beaumont arrived early from his business trip a little after 3 p.m. Once Nancy informed him of the situation, he immediately got in the car to go to find the children at Glenegg. Past the Mosley Street bus stop, he drove past Wenzel's Bakery, past the town hall, up and down along the streets. But still, the three children were nowhere to be found. Jim soon returned home to pick up Nancy, and the two searched around their neighborhood for hours, walking the sidewalks, knocking on doors, and talking to friends and strangers. So far, nobody knew of anything. The kids were not on the beach or at their friend's house. They had simply vanished. At 5:30 p.m., after 2 hours of frantic searching, Jim and Nancy went to the Glenegg police station to report their children as missing. Mostyn Manners, who was working in South Australia as a police detective at the time, was on call at the Glenegg station when the couple arrived. He was the first person to speak to Jim and Nancy, and has since said that he remembers the meeting vividly. The couple frantically pacing back and forth, the fear felt throughout the entire station. He mentioned there were 6 hours at least that the children's disappearance was emergency broadcasted over the radios and TVs. Soon after the Beaumonts reported their children missing, the police had organized a search around the city. They began by thoroughly checking nearby beaches, optimistically hoping that Chain, Arna, and Grant had only lost track of time on a warm summer day. But as the hours ticked by with the broadcast on full force, those working at the station, along with friends and family of the Beaumonts, became increasingly concerned that something more serious may have happened. They soon expanded their search to include a monitoring of all transportation in and around the city. They looked at rail lines all along Adelaide, checked airports for sightings, and watched interstate traffic for signs of kidnapping. With the search now fully underway, the police calculated that between the three children, there were 17 items with them, including Jane's copy of Little Woman. Surely something would show up. Something will be found. A dropped towel, a white canvas shoe, Jane's beach bag, even the book. But still, nothing came up. Not a shred of evidence. The items had yet to be found. Physical descriptions of the three children were sent to locals around the area, and the small beach police station was soon swarming with people queuing out the door to offer information on possible sightings. The whole town was looking for these kids. Manners, the police detective who was on call when the couple arrived, later said that the station was doing the best they could, but that it was small. He described the whole experience as impossible, saying nothing was really organized as it should have been. For example, they only had one phone line, making it difficult to pick up every call. By the very next day, the entire country knew of the disappearance, with search parties now looking in the ocean water, in marinas, and even side buildings along the shore. Thousands upon thousands of civilians went searching on foot. The Navy, Army, and the Air Force soon joined in on the search. It wasn't until days later, on January 29th, that Jim and Nancy had their first possible lead to finding the children. After hearing of the description sent out of Jane, Grant, and Arna, a woman had gone to the police station to give information. She told the authorities how she had talked to the three small children on the evening of the 26th, who were similar to the Beaumont's descriptions. According to her, they had been at the Petawalonga boat haven at around 7 p.m. This was it. After days of searching, days of no sleep, the children were finally going to be found. Authorities rushed to the scene, soon to be discouraged with no sight of them. The haven was eventually drained, but nothing was found. And this was only the first false lead. As media attention grew, the entire country was looking for the three young kids. It began the largest missing person search in the history of South Australia. Clues, hints, and potential sightings kept coming forward, people eager to volunteer information about the case. After hearing countless perspectives, there was one particular story that many witnesses seemed to agree on. A person who was seen with the children right before they disappeared, the mysterious 30-something man. Standing approximately 6'6 and 200 centimeters, he was tall and thin, with an athletic build and suntan skin. He had a large forehead, above which rested a pile of neatly parted blonde hair. His thin, sulky face was clean-shaven, appearing put together with his navy swim shorts with a single white stripe down the sides. With him, he carried a shirt and pants, which he had rested on a nearby park bench next to a single beach towel when he first arrived at the beach. Not only had people seen the blonde man with the children, but a few witnesses had been approached by him as well. They mentioned how the man was asking people around if anyone had seen the children's bags. He claimed they had money in them and that the bags had recently gone missing. None of the witnesses thought much of the encounter at the time. not until they were asked about it later by authorities. After many people came forward with similar information, the detectives working on the case came up with a theory. What if the man had taken the money from the children, then helped them ask around to find it? It was a likely tactic. With no money for food and no way to get home, he appeared like a savior to the vulnerable kids, somebody they could trust. This could be their first real puzzle piece of the story. As the stories of the 30-something man came to light, witnesses also noted other suspicious activity. Apparently, the same tall blonde man had been watching the children while they played in the water. The three towels were laid out on the sand next to his. After they'd gotten out of the water, they ran up to him, playfully splashing. They seemed to know him quite well. The man then proceeded to address them right on the sand, which some thought seemed odd, as Jane, who was 9 at the time, appeared old enough to dress herself. After this, the four packed up their belongings, all 17 items belonging to Jane, Arna, and Grant. They left the beach and went to a nearby changing station. The man went in to change, and the children waited outside.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
They then left the area at 12:15 p.m., walking hand in hand. People who were interviewed noted that the extreme comfortability with children had with the man, as if they had known him for some time. When Jim and Nancy were given this information, they were taken aback, saying this was surprising, it was out of character. The three children, particularly Jane, were all quite shy. Not only this, but Jane was known to be extremely protective of her younger siblings. It was unlikely they would be so relaxed with a stranger, and that there was absolutely no way they would be this comfortable with an unknown man. This comment sparked curiosity in a shop attendant at Winslow's Bakery, the cake shop located just across the road, from the Mosley Street bus stop where the children were dropped off. The shop attendants at the bakery knew the children well, as these beach outings were common for the three children. They had gone into the bakery many times before. The attendant said the children were acting differently the morning of their disappearance. When interviewed, the workers recalled the last time they saw them, which was around 12:20 p.m. to 12:30 p.m., shortly after they left the beach with the mysterious man. Jane had bought two large fizzy drinks, 6 buns, and 5 pastries. She also got a meat pie, which was placed in a separate bag and paid for the order with a £1 note. Jane's bakery order is curious for a few reasons. The police first noted the number of delicacies bought that day. It was much more than they had bought at their previous trips to the bakery, and it was unlikely the amount of food would be needed for only a single day at the beach. Then the issue of money came up. Nancy had given the children 6 shillings and 6 pence, which was only enough for their bus fare and lunch. However, Jane paid for the pastry order with a £1 note. How did she get the note? Lastly, the shop attendants at Winslow's Bakery said that they had never once seen Jane or either of the siblings order a meat pie before. This led police to figure the children had most likely been with another person the day of their disappearance. Around this time, Nancy Beaumont remembered a comment Arna made to her recently. Arna had said Jane had gotten a boyfriend down at the beach. The comment was initially brushed off by Nancy, who assumed Jane had simply made a new friend. The information from the bakery led Nancy to rethink the comment. Based on Arna's comment to her mother, it appears the children knew the man they were with. At 3 p.m. that day, The children were seen by their postman, who was considered a reliable source as he knew the kids well. He said he saw them walking alone in the direction of their house and that they were walking in the main street laughing and holding hands. This seemed peculiar since the shy, responsible kids would probably not be walking so casually if they were over an hour late for curfew. The postman soon changed his story, though, saying he may have actually seen them in the morning, not the afternoon. Late on the evening of January 26th, another woman may have seen the Beaumonts. She said she saw a single man with three children go into a nearby house in her neighborhood. She had thought the home was vacant all this time. Later that night, the little boy was seen walking alone down the lane. He was then chased by the man before being caught and taken back into the house. This was all she saw that night, and the very next morning, the house was seemingly empty again. However, the woman didn't report the sighting until months later, lending the police to wonder why it had taken her so long to come forward. Back home at the Beaumont house, loved ones were gathered to offer comfort and support while the search continued. It was a painful time. Only 2 days after her children had gone missing, Nancy was placed under sedation by local doctors. Their home was soon equipped with a telephone for easy access and contact to the local police. The mysterious disappearance of the Beaumont children have now captivated listeners. This was unusual for Australia, which was a safe and innocent place at the time. Yeah, for a country that was established by criminals. People were eager to help put the pieces of the story together. Days into the investigation, the sightings of the children continued to flood in the police station. Jim and Nancy became acquainted with the press. They did interviews, Jim appeared on television, and the couple was constantly pleading for the safe return of their three children. The calls for information and the possible sightings continued. There were so many, the police were still unable to look into each one. In November of the same year, the police were now desperate for some kind of evidence. They hired a Dutch parapsychologist and psychic named Gerard Crosset to help search for the children. He arrived in Australia on November 8th. Unfortunately, his stories of the missing children seemed to change each day, leaving little trust in his theories. There was one, though, that seemed to intrigue those following the case. He said he saw an image of the children in his mind, located in an old brick warehouse kiln. He said he knew they were there. The building had just recently been surfaced with new concrete, and he said he believed that the children had been buried underneath it. This would make sense, since the warehouse was actually a building site when the children went missing back in January. There was public pleadings to excavate the building, but the owners didn't want to go to such great lengths based on the comments of a psychic. Because of this, the public raised money, eventually coming in at $40,000. At this, the owners succumbed to the pressure, and the building search was soon underway. But it was only another lost cause. After the search, the police and authorities were left with no new information. No bodies, no belongings, no evidence. In 1996, the same building was going through a partial demolition. The owners allowed for a full search, but once again, found nothing at all. Things were not looking up, as any new information was either proven inaccurate or led authorities to another dead end. Everything from false leads to conspiracy theories left any chance of finding the children few and far between. That was until 2 years after the disappearance when Jim and Nancy received a handwritten letter from Jane. Along with her letter, there was another from an unknown man. The letters were sent from, apologies for butchering this name, Dedong Victoria. In her note, though, brief, Jane describes a relatively nice life. She said the man was keeping them. In his note, the man wrote to tell the Beaumont parents that he had become their guardian. He was willing to give the children back. He penciled in a place in the letter for them to meet at a designated time. Jim and Nancy went to the meeting place at the requested time. They hired a detective to follow behind them as well. Unfortunately, it was another broken wire. Nobody showed up. The parents were devastated. This was the only communication they received for quite some time. A little while later, they got a third letter in Jane's handwriting. In the letter, she explained how the man who was keeping them had been willing to give them up, but that he had seen the detective following behind, so he decided he could no longer trust them and that he would be keeping the children from now on. And that was the last letter they got. It wasn't until 1992 when newly advanced forensic technology had proven the letters to be a hoax. The fingerprints on the letter were not Jane's, but a middle-aged man who had been a young teenager at the time. He said he sent the letters as a joke. Due to the statute of limitations, the man was never charged. As the decades passed, Jim and Nancy grew quiet. They withdrew themselves from the public eye. They no longer did interviews or press. Traumatized from the jokes, they stopped answering questions about their children, and they stopped reaching out to the media. The parents eventually separated in the early 1970s as the heartbreak distanced themselves from one another. Though separated, Jim and Nancy kept their home in Adelaide for as long as they emotionally could, hoping through all these years that their children may one day return to it. In interviews, Nancy had said many times how it would be dreadful for the children to return to an empty house. The rooms of Jane, Anna, and Grant were left entirely untouched in the hopes that the children may one day find their rooms just as they had left them. It was only recently that they sold their home at Somerton Park. Nancy Beaumont has since passed away, dying in a nursing home at age 92 in 2019. Jim, also in his 90s, is alive and living in Adelaide. This tragic and disturbing story was a turning point for Australia. As mentioned earlier, it was common practice for children to take buses home, or take buses alone, ride bikes unsupervised, and walk the streets without a parent present. Jim and Nancy were simply following the trends of the time, living in what was known as the epitome of community. That warm summer day in January was devastating for the country. From then on, parents became more guarded, suspicious of strangers. The mystery of Jane, Arna, and Grant Beaumont has haunted the country since. For decades, their disappearance will be known as the loss of Australia's innocence. It was, and still is, a tragic moment in history, a case that somehow remains active even now. As the Glenning Police Station says, they'll continue looking for the children till the day they find them. So maybe there is one thing more relaxing than a day at the beach, to come home afterward. Let us know your theories in the comments section below. And let us know what you think happened. Do you think these children are still alive? Let us know. Of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see
you. You've been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS or become a patron at patreon.com/truecrimeneversleeps.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.